All right, well, we're going to be in Job 28 this morning. Job 28, we're going to kick off here, and we'll look at this, but I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to jump around a little bit more topically this morning, but I'll read this, and we'll come back to it for the first point. Kind of taking a little bit of a theme from our Bible school theme, being the Olympics, and we got the go for gold, and we got the Olympic flags, and all this stuff around here, and we're talking, it worked really good. All our missions decorations went right along with it, our flags and stuff, so kind of helped to make decorating a little bit easier. But just thinking about along those lines, and thinking about these athletes that will be striving to go for the gold, I got to thinking about it, and there are things that are greater than gold, and that's my topic this morning, is greater than gold. If you'll follow with me, I'm going to try not to be very long. It kept getting longer on me, so I'm going to hurry, okay? I'm going to try. Job 28, beginning in verse number 12. We'll read down to verse number 19. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth said, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Since the days of creation, mankind has been just enchanted and enamored with that gleam of gold. I looked it up, and if I search right on my computer, it's about 480, 490 times that the word gold or golden is used in Scripture. It's first found in Genesis chapter 2, talking about in Eden. There was rivers flowing out of Eden. And chapter 2, verse 11, 12, talks about the river Pison flowed from Eden around the land of Havilah. And it says, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. It's first noted as a standard of wealth in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, where it talks about Abraham. And it says, Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. It was first given as a gift by Abraham's servant to Rebekah when he was searching for Isaac a wife in Genesis 24, 22. It's been used in trade. It's been hoarded as treasure. It's been worn for beauty and status. And I'll go on record as saying, honestly, I prefer to wear silver. Gold's not my color, okay? Just to let you know. So don't expect me to be one of those televangelists with gold everywhere, okay? I'm not a gold person personally. But, there actually are more valuable metals out there. I looked it up, and I forgot the website now, but it tracks the price of commodities and things like that. And right now, if you had iridium goes for $4,725 an ounce. If you have any rhodium, that goes for $4,650 an ounce. Those are fairly rare, used in highly technical instruments and things. Gold, comparatively, is a measly $2,415.80 an ounce as of Friday. But, no one cares if you say, ooh, my watch is iridium, or look at my rhodium bracelet. No one cares. It's gold that has all the focus. It's all about gold. And like I said, with the Olympic theme, and this is actually getting started, I guess this week, I was looking at it, I think the events start this week for the Paris Olympics. And you think of all these thousands of competitors from all over the world, and the best of the best coming together to compete. And what is it that they are striving for? They're striving for the gold. They're going for the gold, going to win that gold medal. And all around us is that message that gold is the top, gold is the best. It's the symbol of excellence, the symbol of wealth. It's the symbol of just everything we strive to be as we go for the gold. But as much as gold is valued and sought after, there are, I found seven, I'm going to scare you, seven different things in Scripture that the Bible says is worth more than gold. Seven things that are worth more than gold. And I think if we're wise, we would seek after these things. The first one here in Job 28 is God's wisdom. God's wisdom. It's not abundantly clear just in the passage I read. But the chapter opens, Job is talking, and he's talking about the might of mankind. And if you read the first verses, he talks about mining. He talks about refining metals. And he's using that as this as example for his day of the supremacy of man over the animals. I mean, they talk about there's certain animals, chimpanzees and stuff, that might use rocks for tools and things like that. But there are no animals that dig in the ground, extract ore, melt the ore down, refine it, and create things with it. It's something that places us high above the animal kingdom. Why? Because God created us with these capabilities. He didn't give that to any other creature. But that great gap between man and animal is nothing compared to that great gap between us and God. As smart as we are, as wise as we are, the great things we can accomplish. By the way, I think it was the anniversary of the moon landing. I mean, that's maybe one of the highest achievements. We actually got off our planet and set foot on the moon. America, right? We did that. You think of all these great achievements and the wisdom of us, but what is that compared to the wisdom of God? We made it to the moon. He made the moon. It's a pale comparison. So God's wisdom, this nature, his infinite knowledge and wisdom is greater than gold. I think that's in verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Verse 15. It cannot be gotten for gold. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. The wisdom, I think you can understand it even as the will or the plan of God. You know, how many times, if you're like me, you can look back in your life and you can say, well, I didn't understand what was going on at the time. But now you look back and your hindsight's 20/20 and you say, wow, God was doing something right then. I didn't understand it. And you look back now and say, I wouldn't change a thing. That was a hard time, but I wouldn't change a thing because God knew what he was doing. In the middle of it, I sure was looking for an exit, but God was doing something amazing. You know, people pay managers and planners millions of dollars to handle their businesses or their investments. They trust in the knowledge of these individuals. How much greater, even greater than a mountain of gold, is it to trust in God who knows everything? In fact, if you'll note, the very last phrase, kind of the conclusion of Job chapter 28, Job makes this statement, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." He says, if you want to know true wisdom, true knowledge, you follow after God. It's kind of echoed, of course, when you get into a book of Proverbs. So the first thing we see that's worth greater than gold is God's wisdom. The second thing, and these next few are going to blend together and go fairly fast, I hope, is God's judgments. God's judgments. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold." What are they to be desired? The judgments of the Lord. It's going back to the previous verse. "Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." David is telling us that the judgment is greater than the gold or the honey. Now, this is not speaking of judgment like fire and brimstone raining down. So it's not. This is, think of more like in a courtroom setting, a judgment as a verdict, as a ruling, as a decree. These judgments here are when God gives his divine opinion on any matter. I was thinking about this today, and I'll tell you, with some of the things going on this past week in politics and there's people I want to, what does so-and-so think? And so I'll look up a website, I'll get on Twitter and say, hey, well, what does so-and-so think? And because I'm curious what their take might be. We want to know, what does everybody think? We'll pay people with our time, our attention, or even money. Say, hey, what do you think? You buy a newspaper to know what they think. That may be sports, politics, finances, whatever. When it's all said and done, though, there's only one opinion that matters, and that's God's. And the great thing about it is you don't have to wonder what God thinks. He lets us know what his opinion is. He spells that out quite plainly in the scripture. And that will lead me into the next point. The third thing is God's law. God's law is worth more than gold. Psalm 119:72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. A law is something more fundamental than an opinion or a verdict. It is the foundation upon which a verdict rests. When you take a case to court, the judge or jury or whatever is supposed to say, well, what does the law say? Does this match the law? And they pass a verdict, says, yes, this matches this law, therefore this is what happens. It's what's supposed to happen. But this law is a declaration or pronouncement of God's truth. It's the same word, by the way, that's used to describe the law of Moses. When the Bible talks about the Mosaic law, it's this word. We talk about the foundational laws of science and, the famous ones. You know, what goes up must come down. You throw a baseball up in the air, it's going to come down, unless you throw it on the roof and it gets stuck, you know. But you throw a ball up in the air, it falls down, you catch it, what goes up. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Some of y'all remember your third grade science, you know, these simple little things. These, we have as humans, we've observed these for ourselves. God ordered creation. There's a much order in creation. God ordered this universe. There's a lot of system, and you can see his fingerprints in it. There's very orderly. But we observe these things. I don't know of a Bible verse that says what goes up must come down, but we accept that. That's just truth because we can experience, we can observe it. But the laws of God are different. God doesn't just hold them out there and say, hey, I hope they figure this out. He says, here they are. Let me tell them to you. The law of thy mouth. It says, this is what God has communicated, revealed, spoken to us. That is the law. We know what it is. Now, I'll remind you on this point that you may be able to break the laws of men. You can break the speed limit all you want to. You may get by with it. But when it comes to breaking God's laws, you break yourself against them. There is no escaping them. There is no loopholes. You will break yourself against the laws of God. Now, we have God's verdict, God's opinion. We have God's law, which is the foundation. There's one more aspect of his word, and that's my fourth point. The fourth thing that is greater than God's, greater than gold, is God's commandments. God's commandments. Psalm 119:127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. When you get to a commandment, we have like God's opinion, we have God's laws. Now this is more personal. This is what God is saying. This is what you need to do. It's practical expression of God's will for us. According to Vine's expository dictionary, this can be two different ways. It can be prescriptive, and that is, thou shalt do. God says, do this, do this, do this. It could be proscriptive, that is, thou shalt not do these things. These are the very simple commands of Scripture. Do this, do not do this. And I'm going to tie these three things together, hopefully, because I think these three all work together. It's all three different aspects of the working of God's Word. God's law says the wages of sin is death. That's a fundamental law you cannot escape. God's verdict on the matter says, well, the law is breaking God's rules is sin, and there's the condemnation that comes with that, which is death and hell. God's verdict then is, there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, Romans chapter number 3. So then we have God's command. We have God's law, the foundation, God's verdict against us. Now we have God's commandment. It says, okay, you're guilty. So now this is what you must do. You need to believe on the Lord. You need to be saved. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. All these three aspects work together in God's word. So many people look at it as, well, it's just do's and don'ts. It's not. its fundamental truth. But you can also look at it and deny, well, it tells us what to do. All of these aspects work together to give us a clear picture of who God is and what He expects from us. These work in harmony one with another. The next one, number five, I'm trying to hurry, is godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. This is the practical application into everyday life of God's truth that we just discussed. This is not just good advice, but this is God's truth practically applied. And the book of Proverbs tells us many times of the value of godly wisdom. Proverbs 8:10, Solomon writing says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold." 8:19 says, "My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver." Proverbs 16:16, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" Proverbs 20, verse 15, "There is gold in a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel." This is godly wisdom. Now, I have to also caution on here, because this is godly wisdom. This isn't human wisdom. There are things that you will hear, and they will sound good, but they're not truth. They're man's opinions, and if you get man's opinions, it's flawed, because mankind is flawed. So we have to be very careful on this, that we are seeking out truth that is based on the practical application of God's eternal word, of God's eternal truth. Because there's a lot of counterfeit truth out there. So we have to be very careful on that. The sixth thing, Proverbs 22, verse 1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold." A good name is greater than gold. We find here it's both a good name and the effects of it, the good favor that comes with it. Now, I was doing some study on this, and I was like, well, who is this talking about? Is this talking about a good name with God, or is this talking about a good name with man? Is the favor coming from man, or is it coming from God? And best I can tell, kind of digging into this, I really think this is more focused on horizontal relationships. It's man to man, because what's our name with God? God knows who we are. You can't fool God. God knows everything about us. He knows our depravity. He knows our sinfulness. The only reason we would have a good name with God is because of through Christ. So I think this, in any favor, and by the way, you don't have favor because you have a good name with God. You have favor because God in His great grace gives it to us. So I think this is more human to human here. But this good name, I was thinking, I can think of individuals, famous athletes and stuff, their names are tarnished. If I mentioned them, you'd say, oh, that person's a cheater, that person is a murderer, that person is, and where once they may have been highly respected in this world, it doesn't even have to be an athlete, there's, you know, politicians, actors, businessmen, there's people in the local community that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you'd say, oh, that's a good man. Nowadays, like, I wouldn't trust my dog with them. You know these, you got people popping in your brain. I don't have to name people, okay? But that good name, people will spend millions hiring PR firms trying to restore a good name. It's worth a lot. It's worth a lot. You got to protect your testimony. And by the way, it's not just an outward appearance. It's being a good testimony. Not just acting like it, not just hiding your sins, but actually living the true Christian life to develop that good name. And the seventh and final thing, it's not bad, 7 points, I'm doing pretty good, right? Okay. The seventh thing that is greater than gold is the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, it is amazing, talking about money and silver and gold, it's amazing what gold and money can get you in this world. You can bribe your way out of a lot of legal trouble. You just find the right judge, find the right jury, find the right lawyers. You can bribe your way out of that. You can purchase access to the highest levels of government. That's not a political statement, but it happens. You can do so much. They say money can't buy happiness. It can help. I think we all acknowledge that. Aren't you a little bit happier when you got plenty of money in the bank? Okay. They say it can't buy love, but I don't think it hurts in that case either. As far as I know, and I was thinking about this, there's very few things that cannot be purchased or enhanced, at least, by silver and gold. And the one thing I kept going back to that it just cannot be affected at all, and that is the salvation of a soul. The salvation of a soul cannot be affected by gold. You cannot write a check and get into heaven. You don't get up there and say, okay, well, hey, I want in, God. How much will it take? You know, you need another mansion built? Let me write a check. It's kind of like those donors do at the colleges, you know. That's not how heaven works. You cannot donate a fortune to erase a single sin. There's nothing. There's a joke that goes around about the fella who died and was going to go to heaven, and he got a block of the purest gold he could afford and put it up in his attic so as his soul left his body, he could grab it on his way to heaven. And anyway, it's a joke, okay? And so as a guy gets to heaven, he takes his block of gold, he walks up to the pearly gates and says, St. Peter, I'm so glad I'm to be here. I wanted to present this to you as a gift, and hands Peter this block of gold. And Peter looks at it and goes, oh, thanks, you brought some more asphalt. Even in God's economy, what we value so high is really not all that valuable on that scale. You can't donate, like I said, you cannot buy salvation. You cannot buy forgiveness of sin. There is only one thing that can do that, and that is the blood of Christ. And you cannot buy a single drop of it. It's not like a vaccine or a medicine. You can't buy it. You can't bribe it. There's only one way to it, because unlike gold, it's given away for free. I like this. I really like this point. You can work your life for just a handful of gold. It's pretty expensive nowadays. And you can work for all your life for just a handful of gold coins and think, well, I put all my labor into that. But when it comes to salvation, there's nothing I can do to merit it at all. Christ paid it all. And he gives it to us freely. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Being justified freely, that's as a gift, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. It's a free gift that he offers to each and every one of us. It's completely paid for. We don't have to earn. He's giving away the most valuable thing in all eternity and all the universe to those who will come to him. What's greater than gold? The blood of Christ far surpasses the value of gold. And two statements here to conclude. And y'all want to go ahead and start getting ready. And musicians, y'all can go ahead and start coming up. First off, to the Christians today, you're a believer. I ask, is your heart this morning on things of God or on things of gold? Is your heart on things of God or of gold? Sometimes we get distracted, that little gleam. I like to joke about driving by James Wood in a brand new car, wink at you, and get your attention. Things sparkle, things shine, and they'll get your attention, and you'll think that's important. You can think having gold's important. Look at what I can do with gold. But there are so much greater things than just what gold can buy you in this life. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your heart this morning? Where is your heart? where is that treasure? Is it on the things of this world, or is it on the things above? And can I tell you, as an investment, there's all kinds of people. I know Dave Ramsey hates investing in gold. People, other people say, oh, it's a good investment and all these things. I can tell you, I know a great, much better investment, and that is to invest in eternity. Invest in heaven's stock, not in the stock down here. So is your heart on things of God or on things of gold? Second, I ask this to, if you're here and you don't know Christ, I ask, will you take up that free gift of salvation this morning? It's bought with the price we could never pay. The wages of sin is death. Christ, who was not subject to that penalty, he was perfect, paid the price for us. He died in our place. This gift that he purchased with his own blood is offered to all. It's freely offered to everyone that will come to God on his terms. And his terms are, you come trusting fully in him, in the work of Christ, not in our own goodness, not in our own works, but trusting fully in him, placing our faith in him. Those are the terms. Think about it, it's pretty easy terms for what you get in return, the precious blood of Christ applied to our souls, the salvation of eternity, the forgiveness of sins. Greater than gold this morning. Keep our eyes on what's important. Keep our eyes on what's important. Olin, what number there? 85 in the Heavenly Highways again. If you want to sing along with our invitation song, 85. If you'll stand, we'll have a word of prayer. Then we'll have a short time of invitation this morning. Is there still back there getting ready for baptism? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, my, what a good day it is. And Lord, as we sometimes do, and I know this time of the year, the cycle events, come around the Olympics, and we kind of get focused on human things again and human greatness. But Lord, to acknowledge that there are things so much greater than the things of this world. And Lord, those are the things that you've touched, the things that you've given to us. Lord, from our salvation to the truth that you've given to us, to the truth that we apply in our lives, there's so much that is out there that's far greater than the riches of this world can ever purchase. Keep our hearts tuned to that fact. Let it be a guidance to us in our lives and the investment of our time and attention. And Lord, more importantly, if someone's here, I know we got a lot of good church folks here, but if they're listening online or watching this morning or here in person, they don't know 100% that heaven will be their home, that their sins are forgiven. Let's get that settled now before it's too late for them. We can talk about it now. We can get together, but let's get that settled before it's too late. Speak to our hearts this morning through this simple message, I pray in thy holy name. Amen.